is... Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Hey, Ta. Welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week! Hashtag Politics with Fresh and Botsang. We're cutting straight to the stories shaking political, legal and governance spaces. From explosive committee drama and Navy inquiries to party discipline, leadership battles and South Africa stepping onto the global economic stage. This is Wow, What a Week! Hashtag Politics.
Good morning, Fresh, and good morning to the followers, viewers, subscribers.
The brother.
Everybody else, my brother.
What's up?
Que grande.
It's been an interesting week, full of drama, yes. As always. I think we should start at Parliament's ad hoc committee and the Madlanga Commission.
Yes, sir.
Because long and the short is they're both trying to get to the bottom of the same barrel.
And in my observation, I think so far the Madlanga Commission is advanced and they are getting it to the bottom of this balance.
Mm.
The things that have come out in the last few months.
Do you think it's maybe because they are qualified legal minds that they may be able to get to more than a parliamentary committee that might not necessarily comprise of people who are legally savvy?
I think so, Fresh. If you look at the quality of engagement,
yes.
Questioning, and remember in the parliamentary committee, obviously there's legal advisors. The evidence leader is a senior counsel who's agent assisted by other people. But you can see that the fact that the commission has three judges sitting there, all the three commissioners are judges of the High Court of the Republic with extensive experience. The evidence leaders, no matter how much they alternate them, they are advocates. All of them are advocates. And that actually is helping and giving the commission. That's why it's a judicial, you know, or legal commission of inquiry. In the ad hoc committee, there's politics. Majority of the people in that committee, I don't even know if any of them is a lawyer or has a legal background. Any of the committee, I don't know of any. So you can see a little bit of the disjuncture there that politics are playing. I had wished that the county, and I understand they could not, because the commission is a presidential commission established for a certain purpose. And that ad hoc committee, it's a legislated ad hoc committee comprising of three committees of parliament. But I had wished, if the situation was ideal, would have been all working together and sitting in one room, all witnesses at the same time, and let politicians and legal people engage them. But yeah, hey, look, it's I'm just worried about the delays. I think it's going to take longer. The games have started showing. People are refusing to come, hesitating. People are refusing to talk.
In fact, let's start at the ad hoc. Is it the ad hoc?
Ad hoc committee.
Where Paul O'Sullivan and Brown Mohotsi are saying, we are not coming there because we don't feel safe.
Yes, or on their conditions.
Yes.
And starting with Paul O'Sullivan, I think his conditions are actually illegal and unreasonable. I'll get to Brian Mohotsi. Paul O'Sullivan is demanding that he does this thing using digital technology and not coming physically, because he's out of the country at the moment. Something that many of us feared, that, you know, the more the heat was building up and fingers are being pointed with evidence towards Paul O'Sullivan, the interference, then he left the country during that time for personal reasons.
Do we have evidence that he's left the country?
Well, according to Home Affairs officials and the government, those who invited him to come on, they said there's evidence that he left the country.
Ah, okay.
On private matter.
Okay, so basically on the Home Affairs system, he exited.
He's existed, yes. And remember, he's carrying three passports, one for Ireland, one for England, and one for the Republic of South Africa. So the privilege or the use of passport is, if you are going to a country which you have their passport, you use their passport to live out. But Home Affairs can still track you on the system.
Absolutely.
That a national with these names, with a British passport, has left the Republic.
So when a national of another country is supposed to, has been summoned to testify in front of an ad hoc committee and they refuse,
yes,
what recourse is there for Parliament?
Well, look, the first thing is if it's just someone, it's just an invitation. And then if you refuse, Parliament can subpoena you to come in. And that's what O'Sullivan has done. And they were getting very close to subpoena him. That's why they're good. And if he still defies a legal subpoena, and then Parliament can apply to court.
Okay.
To get him extradited to South Africa to come and testify.
Okay, so it can go that far?
It can go to that far because the ad hoc committee, it's unlike the Madlanga Commission. Even the Madlanga Commission, to some extent, they can do that. But the ad hoc committee, it's a legislated, it's a committee of stature in Parliament.
Mm.
So they can approach the Speaker of Parliament, the Speaker can approach the Minister of Justice as well as DERCO and follow the extradition process. We just hope that they won't do the mistake they did with Cholota to use NPA. Because it's not a wanted criminal. So they will have to use the Minister of Justice together with DERCO and the South African mission to whichever country is to approach the authorities there.
Mm.
That's one thing they can do. And I think if O'Sullivan is going to continue conducting himself this way, it's going to that end. It's going to buy him time. It's going to mess up the committee's time. I'll tell you why I'm saying it's going to go that way. Because one of the things, despite saying he wants to appear online, he can do this thing online, does not to come physical. You can't force a person to come physical. And appearing before a committee or a court online is an acceptable practice in the world or in South Africa. But to say when he's in that committee, he doesn't want to be questioned or he's going to refuse to answer questions from Action SA, Economic Freedom Fighters, and Umkhonto Weziswe Party, which are the three opposition parties in the country that are not in the GNU. This is a parliamentary committee. It is not a political party's representing. So everybody who's sitting in that committee is representing us as residents and citizens of this country. So I think Paul is going to create those problems. But another issue is him wasting time of the committee. How important is his testimony? It's very important because it's been implicated with the relationship to Professor De Haas or to Mr. Robert McBride or to anybody else.
Mm.
His name has come up over and over. So it's going to be very tough for the committee.
Let's talk about Brown Mohotsi. Brown Mohotsi says because he feels unsafe, he's got a security detail.
Yes.
And he said to the ad hoc committee that, I am not. Are we good?
No, I was just signaling to him the grass cutter.
Okay. So if you can hear,
maybe me.
If you can hear, in the background, there's a grass cutter in the background.
Maybe me, yeah.
Brown Mohotsi says he's not feeling safe, and he says he's not refusing to go to the ad hoc committee, but he wants to take care of his own travel. And that they need to pay for his security detail.
Yes.
Because he doesn't feel safe.
Yes.
But also he can't let them determine how he gets to Cape Town. Because he says he doesn't trust that he'll be safe.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
First,
is he being unreasonable?
My answer is I don't think he is unreasonable.
Okay.
And I'll elaborate and explain why I don't think Brown Mohotsi is unreasonable. First, a government, whether in the Madlanga Commission or the Ad Hoc Committee, they've made this provision. I know that they found the traveling to Cape Town, accommodation, S&T, and those things. And for those who think they need security, they will provide security, which is fair.
Yes.
Okay. However, in this instance, I want to, you know, take myself out of the situation and look at what has transpired in the country since the Commission, the Ad Hoc Committee, began their duties. There's been intimidations. The things that are being discussed at these committees, most of them involves alleged cartels or syndicates that includes things like murder, like intimidation, and so forth. We should not shy away from focusing on what is the nucleus of this committee. What are they investigating? What are they challenging? And solely based on that, without taking anything from what the government or parliament has provided for their witnesses or guests, one has to take into consideration the fact that Brown Mohotsi is not saying, I don't want to come there. He says he wants to come. He wants to come and testify. But remember a few months back, there was this allegation of his life being threatened. Some people wanted to hijack him or to kill him. The story that we don't know where it ended. And because he didn't want to go and press charges and all that. That's what. Two, he's a person of serious interest. They're caught up between rogue police officers, alleged police criminals, alleged drug and murder cartels, he and politicians. He's been a center person in this whole thing. Therefore, naturally, if you look at a criminology and how criminals conduct themselves, his life is naturally in danger. Whether he has put himself there or not, whether he's right or not, whether it's Brown Mokgosi could have been Pete or Jan or anybody, it's not what we should be looking at. We should look at the safety of the witness.
Sure.
And we have seen it happening in courts, in this right in courts. Some people were shot in Weinberg inside the court at the sixth floor of a court. 2 weeks ago, people were shot in Boisings with a lawyer on the parameters of the court. So I don't want to be unreasonable to say he put himself into that, he led himself into that, therefore he's an alleged criminal, or he was the mastermind or the connection between allegations of corruption, maladministration, and police rogueness. I want to sit and say, the man is saying to Parliament, I don't trust South African police services. We are actually investigating them. Right now, your committee is investigating the conduct and the behavior of South African police service. That's one. Two, I know you said you'll provide, and Parliament was kind to say, we will provide you security personnel of Parliament, which we all know that they are not normal men in uniform in blue.
Yes.
Some may have police background. And then we'll book you a flight to come to Cape Town and we'll book a hotel. If I thought and felt my life personally is at risk, I will not allow anybody to have my itinerary.
Sure.
To determine my itinerary. I will not allow anybody to say, you'll sleep at this hotel. Those who want to take me down, it'll be easy for them to find me. They know which flight I'm flying in. They know which hotel I'm going to sleep in. And then the security will pick him up on arrival in Cape Town at the airport. The parliamentary bodyguards or security drive him safely and put him in his hotel. And they'll pick him up at the hotel and take him to the parliament precinct on the days he has to appear. For me, that's not safety. That's not protection. Everybody has a price tag. What if those parliamentary people get bought, like police are being bought?
Yes.
Brown Mokgosi is saying to the parliament and the people of the Republic of South Africa, and I want the viewers and the listeners must not think I am becoming Brown's advocate. I'm saying, he is saying, since my life is under threat, I don't trust the police, I don't trust the system, I don't trust the government. I already have my security personnel. I will find my way to travel to Cape Town that people will not know, even, and I'm going to use road. Please pay for those services. Now, I think the challenge becomes, it looks like for them to then pay for the services that Mokgosi want and the travel and the kilometer claims, because of the cost, it exceeds normal transactions in government. They will have to go through normal treasury regulations and processes to outsource the services. But we are dealing with a special case. A man is saying, I already have my bodyguards. They are also my drivers. I can bring myself to wherever you want me, just fund the cost. Do I think it's an unreasonable request or demand? I don't think so. You value my testimony.
Yes.
You want my testimony. You are even acknowledging, Parliament is acknowledging that he deserves security like all others who ask. So there's no dispute on that. The only dispute is that he wants security that he chooses or that he's already working with. And that, for me, being an outsider,
and that they must pay for it.
They must pay for it. You understand? But again, people who know public, I mean, or public finance, they must try and find a meeting point. If they really want Brown Mokgosi, which I think we as a nation, we want him there. You can say, I'll make an example. We were going to spend 10,000 rands with flying you and security and what to come to Cape Town. Your bill, and there is provision for that in the Public Finance Management Act. Your bill, if you use your own transport, your own hotel, and your own, it's amounting to 15,000. We are only giving you 10. That's, you know, if I was a negotiator or an arbitrator in this whole process, I was going to say to Parliament, how much were you going to spend to bring Brown Mokgosi to Parliament? 10,000. Brown Mokgosi, if you take yourself to Parliament, how much are you going to incur? 15,000. Parliament then should say, we will give you 10,000. The difference, you'll pay it yourself. And I think that's the middle point they should reach. For me, that will be, find a committee. You're going to spend 10,000. I'm using 10,000 example. We as Parliament, we're going to spend 10. Your costs are 15. We'll give you 10, get here.
Do you think that refusing because they can, or because it will be a costlier exercise if he takes care of his own logistics?
It will be one costly. It's already becoming clear that it's becoming costly because apparently the invoice of his private security, it's more than what using parliament. Remember, for parliamentary security, they are not going to pay because they're already in the what do you call it, in the payroll.
Yes.
Of parliament, they're not going to pay.
Also similar to what happened with Batohi.
Yes.
That if you want legal representation, then we've got lawyers for you.
We've got lawyers inside the MPA. Mm. If you want private ones, go and get them with your money.
Sure.
I'm saying try and work out a figure. I don't think that parliament is being unreasonable. I also don't think Mokgosi is unreasonable. I'm saying parliament works by rules, regulations, and the resources they have at hand. Mokgosi has his own fears and resources. The only way to find a meeting point is to do a cost calculation to say how much was it going to cost the state or parliament to get Brian Mokgosi to come and testify vis-a-vis how much will it cost when Mokgosi is using his own money. But you know, South Africans are crying to say this guy has ended up in crime and now he's even making demands. We want him there. Understand? We want him there. Fresh, if government calls me now to go to parliament to testify on loads of corruption issues I'm aware of that has happened in government, I will not sleep in a hotel which they book for me. Never. I will not even trust the bodyguards or securities that they will provide me. I will not drink their water.
More so because, and I say this with respect, you know, there's a lot of good men and women in blue. But if you're going to be allocated, for instance, VIP protection,
yes,
when we're being told that there are already compromised men and women in blue,
yes,
who even do private gigs after hours,
yes,
for the so-called top five people,
yes,
then you can't blame a guy who says, I don't want any of these people as my security detail because I don't know who I don't know who's in their pockets.
Yes. And first, that's what I said at the beginning. The main investigation about this, it's police corruption or alleged corruption of police. And which police? Not just a normal constable on the street. Those who are in VIP protection, those who are in senior positions, those who are in supposed to be combating high crime. The VIP protection, for example, is the same VIP protection that is protecting ministers.
Yes.
A minister that is on suspension, the commission is about the alleged conduct of that minister. Now, you want a Brown Mokgosi who has worked with this VIP protection to do whatever illegal activities or infiltration to trust the same people that were leaking information to him. He knows what they are doing. This inquiry, it's about that. But I don't think, look, if you want witnesses, at least allow them the comfort. You don't want a witness also who is going to sit in a witness chair and then he keeps on watching his back. He's afraid to mention names, like we have seen with the current Hawkshead at Madlanga Commission.
Yes.
That this guy is refusing. You don't want that kind of witness. You want witnesses to be free to talk as they wish.
Yes.
And I think, and that's why I said, let the ad hoc committee, don't bully a their witness. And I'm not talking about Mokgosi only. Let them not bully. Let them not undermine anybody if they want to get to the bottom of this thing. What difference will it make if the state spends another 20, 30,000, maybe 50,000 to get Brian there? They spent hundreds of millions.
And just get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way. We move on to the next witness. The next thing people are saying to me, but Boots and then O'Sullivan may say, fly me from Britain. Because I'm in Britain now. Fly me from London, wherever.
Obviously, it's all within reason.
You understand?
Yeah. But
is he there illegally? No. You want him here? Yes. You are transporting people from Joburg or Durban to Cape Town? Yes. If I'm in London, fly me from London. You created this commission. You want me to be there or this ad hoc committee. People are saying they are unreasonable. They think they're important. No, they are important. Or yes, they are important because we need answers from them. What have they been doing with the alleged cartels or criminals or kingpins and politicians? And you know, I've said when this whole thing started, I was one of the people who were very sarcastic about the formation of another commission.
Yes.
But this commission has demonstrated so far that it has done better than many others that have done. It has, what did you ask me the other day during the week? It has, you know, unraveled issues that if matters were in a normal court of law, would have not heard them. So it has prepared the path that when these cases go to the court of law, it will be easy. People won't hide information because the information that we got from police intelligence, normally if they're in a police docket before the court, some info, they can't put it to public until the date of the hearing. In this instance, we are having access and a privilege to share about things, who called who sent who a text, and all that. So it has laid a proper foundation for any prosecutions that may happen after.
Let's go to the Madlanga Commission. KZN Hawks Head Major General Lesitra Senona has admitted to the Madlanga Commission that it was wrong to advise Cat Matlala to legally challenge SAPS over his cancelled 360 bar contract.
Yes.
It was an interesting time for Major General Senona, more so because there's a text that he claims he got that had redacted names.
Yes.
And then he was told that we need to know who the names are.
Yeah.
And he said he feared for his life.
Yes.
But eventually he did give the names. Uh-huh. Let's talk about what's happening in Madlanga.
Look, at the Madlanga Commission, I must first express my personal opinion. I think General Senona was evasive. I asked myself, you know, you are in that level of a police position. You are supposed to be the highest ranking crime buster in a province like KwaZulu-Natal. And you are refusing and or avoiding to cooperate with the Commission of Inquiry because in his own ways, he is afraid that he will incriminate himself. First of all, as the number one crime buster in that province, and the Hawks are not just normal police, they're a specialized unit of the police. You were not supposed to be involved in that at all. But let's say you were involved in befriending Mr. X, in this instance, Mr. Vusimusi Cat Matlala, and you discover after that it is alleged that this gentleman is involved in criminal activities, you still continue to keep contact with that person. You still continue to exchange police information with that particular person, something he denied at the beginning. And when the commission or the evidence leader, the Madlanga Commission, provided material evidence in terms of printed out communiques between himself and Mr. Matlala, he then played dumb to say, no, this information was already in the, what do you call it, in the general public space. I did not invent it. He could have got it somewhere, but that's not the issue. The issue is you are head of Hawks. You are head of a specialized crime prevention unit in KZN. Even if the story is in the public space, that implicates somebody you regard as your younger brother. What business do you have to can still send that information to that person? Yes. Why do you take it upon yourself as a crime buster? You are supposed to be fighting this man.
Yes.
But you take it upon yourself that you must share that info with him and come to the one of the 360 million of the police. Now, your employer has a contract, service contract with this alleged crime person. Your employer has that. It then comes out from various investigation and financial trend to say that contract was not awarded fairly and it will be cancelled. Your own employer cancels an illegitimate contract with an alleged crime or criminal. You go and you advise the criminal to say, go and sue my employer. Go and deal with them. On whose side of the law are you? You know, those are some of the things that I think General Senona was undermining. That when we say in criminal processes, you were aiding or abiding.
Aiding and abetting.
And abetting the alleged criminal. We don't say Mr. Matlala is a criminal. You were aiding. And there is nothing else. And he should have known. He's a very senior and seasoned, or supposed to be seasoned, police official. He was supposed to be known that primarily communicating with criminals, and you can't prove today that you are communicating in order to search information to give to your colleagues or to catch this person. No, it's your friend, it's your brother, and you continue. you have whiskeys with him, you know, you go to his places long even after. And for me, I think our police and criminal justice system is in danger fresh. When I look at what is coming out of that commission, we also had a witness E before General Zenono. We had witness E testifying in camera, making damning allegations, providing communiques that happened between the president and the minister, that the president was made aware at some stage or was aware of some of these allegations.
Sure.
And still the president calls, now when they're in a public space, to simply suspend the minister and play like he didn't know anything. It has come out in the Madlana Commission specifically, not in parliament, two or three times now, where the name of the president is being mentioned. I don't say he's guilty of anything. I don't say he was involved. But his name has been mentioned at least two or three times. That says to us as a nation, President Ramaphosa was made aware of these allegations.
What are your thoughts on Major General Zenono's son doing business with CAT?
Because surely
there's another link to... There must be a deeper relationship.
Yes.
Because obviously in RA...
It's just a young boy that is my younger brother.
He's doing business with other people, so...
But look, Fresh, he spoke more like a politician. And I've heard many politicians saying that when they were caught before. His argument, and legally his argument, states, but you can't divorce your bloodline from reality. It's your son. Whether he's 35 or 45 years of age, you know, to say he's married is a man who's on his own business and he's making business with an alleged criminal that you claim is your younger brother. And you want to say, I didn't know anything, I don't get involved, my son does not tell me his business transactions. I will find it very hard to believe that's the truth. Especially that you also have a relationship with Mr. Matlala, not only your son. You understand?
So are you saying if there's no relationship with CAT, it would be more plausible then?
It would be more acceptable. Or if he would have said to us as a nation, I knew Mr. Matlala as a business partner of my son. And that's not his testimony. His testimony is that I know Matlala myself. I've taken him to meetings. He has been to my office. Another disturbing thing is that Kate Matlala was actually having so much access to these generals of police that he will even summon them. Well, maybe I'm using the wrong word. Come, let's meet in my hotel. Come, let's meet in my apartment in somewhere in KZN or in Tshwane. That power that he had, you know how difficult it is for me to meet the station commander of Centurion.
Yeah, but if I am doing business and I'm a service provider for your department, surely relationships will develop. Surely there should be nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong.
If I'm a service provider, say, for the SABC,
yes,
I'll end up having relationships within the SABC.
Yes, but with who in the SABC? Now, you can't have it across the board.
Mm.
You can't have it even with provincial leaders in KZN, and when your duty is to have services with the national office. If Mr. Matlala had a relationship with the head of supply chain management, finance, remember it's a business transaction, of SAPS, I wouldn't see anything wrong with that. Or with the head of finance, where he would complain to say, head of finance, I've invoiced for a payment of 500,000. This payment is overdue. It's delaying. That's normal way of doing business.
Yes, sir.
But you can have from constables in stations to metro police in Ekurhuleni, to generals in KwaZulu-Natal, generals in Cape Town. Why is it everywhere?
Because I'm building bridges. Pela, I'm a business person. You must build bridges in business. If I'm doing business in the mining sector, I'll build bridges across the board.
Look what it has come to now.
Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate building bridges with people within an industry that I'm a service provider doesn't necessarily mean that I'm greasing their palms or that gasinya.
No, it does not.
Mm.
But like I said, it's limited to those that you are doing business directly, not everybody and across the board. Now, you're dealing with the national office. You already have a contract. The national office wants to cancel your contract. You go, Olovota, a provincial government from another province, not even the province where you are. Why would it cause that? To influence the others. How much influence does the other one have? You see, again, this thing of tenders and contracts if we had limited it to certain services. Now you even outsource contracts with the security of the country from external people without vetting. Why would SAPS, and now I'm thinking, you know, broadly, why would the South African Police Service not vet those that do business with them? You understand? You are a security cluster, part of the security cluster of the country. Clearly, you are supposed to vet those people. Mm. If state security agency want me to do a job for them, whether it's a consultant or a service provider for them, it will be expected that they must vet my company before they offer me any contract. Now, South African Police Service, that is the leading entity of government in vetting human beings, companies, whatever, did not vet their own service provider. Because should they have vetted their own service provider, the things that we have learned now that Matlala's company was actually owned by so-and-so and so-and-so, they would have known this before. But they didn't do the vetting. And you can see the whole line, value chain of corruption, maladministration, influence and contacts and connection. You can see that led to this. Greed and all those things. So it's I'm very disappointed, actually. I'm not shocked by the testimony of General Sinon. I'm not shocked because General Mkwanazi had said before, I'm not going to give names, I'm not going to say anything. There are heads of division from various provinces, various units of the police, the NPA and the judiciary, who will come and testify and they will give names. We have seen how Witness E, I just pray that they don't take down Witness E, because so far in the Madlanga Commission, Witness E is the only witness that I saw or heard providing evidence and picking up immediately with material evidence and giving names. Most of the people did not give names.
Yeah.
They will say, I'm afraid these people will know this, this. Witness E gave names, gave WhatsApp records, gave everything that we needed as a nation to say who was involved and from what level. And I just hope they don't take the guy up, or the lady or the guy. We don't know whether he's a man or a woman. So it's unfortunate that this Madlanga Commission has worked. By the way, I've never seen them being so irritated. I've seen them laughing under, Julius Mkwanazi.
Yes.
Laughing and joking, Brown, very angry, but they were so tense and irritated with General Sinona. I saw a different side, all three of them, no matter how much they try to compose themselves, because they're supposed to be neutral and be composed. Yes. But at some stage, they lost it. Even Justice Matlanga himself, at some stage, he lost it. He got very upset. And unfortunately, they have to go through that process.
Sure. Let's bring it back to the Iran naval inquiry.
Yes, sir.
Justice Ngwepe has been appointed as a part of the naval board or inquiry.
Yes.
That's going to look into whether there's insubordination. We are also being told that the instruction that Iran must become observers was actually given quite a while back.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on there being an inquiry in the first place? Because more often than not, issues of insubordination are clear. Butsang tell Trevor that this is happening.
Yes.
If Butsang didn't tell Trevor that this is happening,
explain why I didn't tell Trevor.
There's insubordination and you must be treated accordingly based on whatever disciplinary measures are in place for that. Why do we need an inquiry for this?
I don't know. I don't know, Fresh, but that's the modus operandi of President Ramaphosa. Every time there is something very sensitive or very challenging, the president outsources legal services.
Is it him wanting to be thorough and make sure we cover every single base before action is taken? Or is it indecision?
I don't think it has only to do with being thorough. Do you mean you don't trust your internal systems?
Hence, I'm asking that why do we need an inquiry when generally there are systems in place.
Yes, regularly there's
to deal with ill discipline, insubordination, mutiny.
There is the Labor Relations Act in this country, which governs and regulates the relationship between the employer and the employee. There is the Military Act, you understand, which may include the Naval Act. that talks about hierarchy, seniority, command and control. Mm. And it's clear, it's very clear. President Ramaphosa is the commander-in-chief of all armed forces of this country. Mm. And he's got political heads, ministers and all that, depending on whether it's police or the military or home affairs. Then, or intelligence. Then, after that, there are operational managers in forms of generals. And there's a clear command and control. The rules and regulations are clear. Then there's a human resource. And the Defense Force, being a department, a state department, it's having its own human resource processes, whether it's military veterans or the Navy or whoever, that must be guiding this. So I'm always asking myself, why do you have a commission of inquiry that is going to cost money when you haven't exhausted internal processes first? So does it say, that's why my first response to your question was, is President Ramaphosa not having confidence in the internal processes that are defined by the Labor Relations Act, by the Public Service Code, by the Military Code? Is he not having confidence in those acts of parliament to can handle this, no matter how sensitive it is?
Maybe he wants for there to be transparency so that whatever actions are taken are on the record and we can keep it moving.
No. Fresh in government, when there's internal disciplinary hearings, everything is on record.
Sure.
Everything is normally on record.
So why is there inquiry?
It doesn't make sense to me except to say it's a waste of time. And I think the president, whenever something is dirty and sensitive, he becomes too careful in order not to upset those that he may be trying to protect politically. One thing he came out clear with, and I watched the interview, it's what you were saying, to say this matter has been given the directive and what long ago, time years. You remember last week when we discussed it, one of the issues I raised was the timing. When was the instruction given? To who, by who?
Yes.
Now he has come out as President Ramaphosa to say it was done timelessly. When and he even said even China was engaged.
Sure.
Whether through Minister Lamola or whoever, they were engaged and told. Why the generals defied the directive, whether by Minister Andrew Mutsar or by President Ramaphosa, we don't know, and we left now to go into another inquiry. Chaired by, I don't know if the retired, is it a retired judge? Is he retired?
Yes. Ntate Ngwepe is retired.
He's a retired judge, yes. So Justice Ngwepe now is going to sit about this inquiry. We still have another inquiry chaired by a retired judge of a Judge Mbemenge in the Eastern Cape. We've got too many commissions, too many retired judges. For me, as a public servant and a civilian in this country, I want to say, it looks like the administration of government, and I'm disappointed with members of the GNU, not questioning this, that we don't have confidence in our own laws.
The systems.
And our own systems. And that's all. What could it be? Why are we taking matters of insubordination and criminality? Why are we taking to the commissions when we've got courts? When the Department of Justice itself, you know that they've got a court, or in not justice, the Department of military and veterans.
The military have police and courts.
They even have judges.
Yes,
they even have judges. They've got their military courts. Now you don't want to rush to the military courts because it may be dealing with acts of criminality, not human resource insubordination. But like I said, there's processes internally. Why don't you exhaust those first? And when they fail, then you can resort to courts. And sure. And why inquiries? It says to me, the government or the executive authority does not have confidence in its own system and resources. I know courts are under-resourced. And this is a sensitive thing that needs to be, because it has implications on international trade. It has implications on international relations. You want to also get to the bottom of this and show your bilateral counterparts and matter one that I'm dealing with things decisively, but I don't think we're being decisive. I think we're buying time. And also, there's an election here politically. President Ramaphosa is getting into the second stanza of his, the last stanza of his second term as head of state and head of the ANC. He may not also want to upset some of his political backers. Understand? He may not want to upset them. Look, why didn't President Ramaphosa send the Palapala issue, the CR17 things? He took them to courts, took them to the public protector, took them to the NPA, took them to SARS. to the systems.
Mm.
Why didn't he call a commission of inquiry?
Mm.
Or the speaker call a commission of inquiry on Palapa? Why didn't they do that?
Mm.
Why did they go to courts? Why did they? Why in that instance they trusted the system?
Mm.
And when it's other politicians involved, and look at who are these politicians. It's politicians who were on his slate or faction of the ANC. Angie Motshekga, Senzo Mtsunu, understand?
Mm.
Now judges that are seen or said to be part of the people who presided over the Palapala, the CR70 and others. Look at those judges.
Mm.
Are the ones who sealed the records, are the ones who said there's nothing wrong. Look at the current public protector was appointed by the president. Look at Shamila Batoi, who was appointed against the recommendation of the committees of parliament. So it may be, you spoke earlier about washing each other's hands.
Mm.
Maybe comrades, comrade judge, comrade minister, comrade public prosecutor, I'm not going to let you get into trouble without me protecting you because you have taken care of me. And this is how I observe it, unfortunately. Mm. I'm thinking it's time of compensating those who took care of you when the heat was on.
Mm, mm.
But it's not fair because it's going to make people like, Julius Malema to stand up and say, you can see when the law is applied to me, it's the law.
Yes.
But when it's others, it's a different story.
Mm, mm. Yeah. Speaking of Juju, because he was in court this week for sentencing.
Was it this week?
Mm.
When did we speak about it? Was it not last week?
It was last week, ne? But now it's been postponed, I get it, obviously.
Yeah, for the sentencing, yes.
For the sentencing. And obviously it's very political.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
He's saying he's wanting to be silenced.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, did you fire a gun or did you not fire a gun?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on, and also on the delays?
Magistrate or judge?
Judge,
old tired woman, you are having hundreds of thousands. People say East London has never seen so many red beret people on the streets.
Mm.
You are a human being, you'll be scared.
Do you think they'll make him do time? Or do you think he'll pay a fine and maybe a suspended sentence?
Do you want my personal opinion or the legal opinion? What the law is saying and what I think.
What do you think is going to happen? Because all eyes are on this case.
Based on the law.
Yes.
Based on the law, I think, and purely on the law,
mm.
I think Julius is going to do time
okay.
for this. If I base purely on the law.
Based on politics.
Based on
politics. And the climate.
The climate and the risks.
Yes.
Probably they will come with 5 years because, you know, nobody was
suspended.
Wholly suspended
mm.
With a heavy fine.
Okay.
Based on politics because, and this is where the justice system becomes unjust.
Okay.
Because if that's going to be the case, and we are going to compare that with if it was a private person
mm.
who is not a politician, who's not popular. The firearm, and I've said it last week and I've said it many times before, the Firearm Control Act, it's one of the clear acts of parliament we have.
And
it
in fact,
pronounces on sentencing and all those. It's very clear.
And in fact, the clarity of the act itself actually makes carrying a firearm a burden.
Did you see what happened this week?
Because, if you're a firearm owner, in the back of your mind, even as you're thinking of, do you defend yourself or not? The law kicks in.
The law kicks
in. The minute you draw, the law kicks in.
Actually, the law says you must run away unless you are being attacked.
Yes.
It's very tough. Did you see what happened on Monday? And we spoke about it on 938 FM on Monday.
Mm.
A lady in Harman's Cry, it was on the Sowetan during the course of the week, in Harman's Cry,
yes.
A lady went to buy a gun. We don't know yet it's legal or illegal. A 30-year-old lady. She apparently went to a soccer field or tested the firearm and showed the neighbors and those that I'm armed now. These criminals are no longer going to rob me and rob my house.
Mm.
On Monday or Sunday, I think it was Monday, she went out in an open field.
Mm.
Or after she came back on Saturday from there, most probably there was one up there and all that. And the firearm, she was discharged. Next, or in her garden or the open spaces, the kids mm. were there.
Mm.
The bullet hit a child from neighborhood who was passing from a shop.
Mm.
A 5-year-old great R child died.
Mm. Mm.
This woman is in prison now. Understand? The child died.
So she's a new firearm owner.
She was a new firearm owner. Apparently, the firearm was bought 3 weeks ago.
You know what I suspect might have happened then?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she had gone through the competency to high and everything else and thoroughly trained, I don't think she'd have been that reckless.
That's what I'm saying. And also, how long does it take to get a firearm license? Fresh, me and you, we know.
Mm.
You and she's got kids of her own, actually. That the kids are saying they thought it's firecrackers. Until people on the street, they saw this 5-year-old falling and bleeding. And she rushed her to the clinic. Him and that boy passed on at the clinic. But I'm saying, you can see how we are a violent society. We are one of those organizations like the Gun Free Society that has been calling
Gun Free
us. We don't know whether this lady gun was acquired, you know, legally or illegally. We don't know yet. The police has...
The legally thing is, did she go through
the
every training and every hurdle?
Or you bribed?
Because it's easy to bypass a lot of the processes.
Yes.
But if you are truly competent, you know better than just to draw your firearm.
Exactly. And also where to demonstrate it, where to show
in
it
fact,
off, where
fact,
to practice.
In fact, if you are truly, if you are licensed to carry, you know not to just draw your firearm. You can't even show it to Majita.
You
can't even just pull it out and say, hey, gents,
you can't even have it on you and people, it's visible. You know,
yes,
that would,
yes.
Does not be
it must
visible.
Be concealed. It must
yeah,
be concealed.
It must be concealed. But yeah, you see how serious this. So I think the Juju case is going to go that route. But I've said, I know one of the reasons they postponed the sentencing, because it's long overdue. You know, that's another unfair thing on Julius Malema.
It's justice
this
denied.
Has been too long.
It's delayed.
Justice delayed.
Yeah.
But it was going to be risky for the judge to issue the sentencing at that spot when there were hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of people on the street. That was very risky. I think there was a coordinated from security cluster to the justice cluster. There was a coordinated decision to say, let's postpone this. And I can tell you what I also think, and I said it last week. I think the sentencing, it's going to happen electronically. I don't think...
I was
going to
say, you think they're going to email the sentence?
That will be the safest and the wisest thing to do. Email the sentencing. That will be the safest thing to do. Don't allow those people to be... Especially when he's going to be, sentenced to serve term. Look, this is one case that I'm going to watch it both politically and legally on how it's going to go. But from the legal point of view, nothing against Julius. I've already said, I think the delays has denied him fair justice. But looking at the Firearm Control Act, what happened there carries a minimum sentence of 5 years imprisonment.
Let's move to the ANC. The ANC has warned its members against early lobbying as the race for its top position begins. Already there are T-shirts about voting for PM.
Yes.
And PM obviously is vague, because now we don't know if it's Patrice Motsepe, we don't know if it's Paul Mashatile.
Yes.
And I'm sure it was intentionally done that way.
And unfortunately for the campaigners, both the deputy president and the preferred person that has already denied, well, he has not yet seriously denied, they are both PMs, unfortunately for them. So it's also confusing a little bit, but the ANC Secretary General came out gun blazing last week on Sunday after their Lekgotla, and on Monday issued an official statement dated Monday the 21st to say people must desist from doing that. It's not yet time to open for elections and campaigning. Actually, people and branches should be focusing on local government elections. That's the mandate, not the 2027 presidential elections. Otherwise, they will face consequences and discipline within the parameters of the ANC constitution. The question is, what are you going to do, Mr. Mbalula, to your own members if they decide to campaign for Paul Mashatile now or for Petros Motsepe now? What are you going to do? Are you going to go to branches and discipline these people in an organization that's troubled? You are worsening the situation. Do they have a policy that says you can't talk about it now openly? Or we'll open the race officially? Those are two different things. You know, People are allowed to can talk about their preferred candidate. We can talk about our preferred political party. IEC cannot tell us not to talk about it now. And I think it's a very volatile situation that the ANC must handle very smart. But I also think what worsens it is that he himself, Mr. Fikile Mbalula, as the SG and the boss of ANC, has already raised his hand to say he's going to contest. So when he said it last year, under any circumstances, why was he saying it? Why did he say he'll be available to contest for presidents?
So are you saying that if the rules are you can't put your hand up until we say, okay, ready, steady, go?
Yes.
Then he himself was being a bit mischievous.
He himself spoke about, I remember the interview vividly when he said, there is no policy in the ANC that the deputy president will be the only one contesting to succeed. Anybody can contest. And therefore is ready to lead the ANC and all those things. He said it last year already. Was he not self-campaigning? Was he not raising his hand? Now other people are saying we are raising the whole body of such a person.
Yes.
And you want to discipline them. They've just taken it a step ahead to say we are going to print T-shirts.
Sure.
With their own cost, their own money. I don't see them winning on this one. It may fracture the organization, you know, to be worse. And look, again, the factions have come up to catch up with the ANC.
Sure.
Preferred candidates. Mr. Motsepe himself, I saw one interview on an event. I can't remember what event that was. On this time around, he did not say, I'm not interested in politics. I'm not going to campaign. He didn't say that. He said, it's 2 weeks back, he said, avoiding to answer the question, that I'm not active politically. I'm focusing on my fears, care for work, and all those things.
I remember he was one of the panelists at the Bloomberg summit during the G20.
G20, yes.
And there he categorically stated that he's not running for president.
For presidents, yes. That's what I'm saying. The one that happened recently, he avoided the question.
Okay.
Most probably between...
So he denied it last year. Now he's avoiding it. Do you think there might be a slight shift?
Do you remember? Yes, there might be. You remember? Remember when a President Ramaphosa was said to be so upset that he's going to resign about a year or so ago, and Mr. Gwede Mantashe came up, or Minister Mantashe came up and said, they had to go and persuade him that the end of that, you can't resign. We need you here and all that. It could have happened that Mr. Motsepe or Dr. Motsepe has been lobbied now. You know, he has been lobbied by the people to say, don't be a coward. And I'm one of the people who have said, Dr. Motsepe may be, not to say he's a politician, I don't know his leadership qualities except from Sundown's business and CAF, any other thing in politics, I don't know. But when I look from outside and look at the other candidates, and this time let me put Nomvula Mokonyane, because those are the people who have already talked to say anybody can stand. If the branches want me, I stand. Nomvula Mokonyane, Fikile Mbalula, and Paul Mashatile, who's supposed to be the automatic one. Looking at these three people, only these three, and looking at Patrice Motsepe, he may not be having a political cut or a political history, except money. I think he may pull out the repair of the ANC better than these three people.
Okay.
As in,
are you saying he might be the last hope?
He must be the last hope and the savior.
Okay.
Because people see him as a successful businessman. Politics are run by money, and they may see him as the person who can bring the clue back. But already there are talks of his Barry, brother-in-law of the current president. He's also a businessman, and we had brought President Ramaphosa as a businessman before.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't know if ANC people in majority who were backing President Ramaphosa, particularly in 2017, when he came back in 2012. Particularly, I don't know if they see him as a failure. I doubt if they see him as he has failed. I think they regard him as the person who, even if he didn't succeed in growing the organization, it dropped under him, but they see him as the person who kept the clue at least there.
Yes.
You know, and I think Motsepe being an outsider, they may be seeing him as the last hope.
What are your thoughts on, it seems like Auntie Yellen, almost prefers the idea of a Motsepe presidency over any other.
Why did I wish you don't bring it up? I avoided so much to write to you about that. I had wish you don't bring that up now. And I thought we'll pass this topic without you bringing it up.
What do you think is going on there?
It's the infiltration of the ANC and white capital infiltrate the ANC. I've said many times, Faish, the Democratic Alliance, they know the rules and the laws of this country better than because they wrote or they imported them from the old regime. Two, they know they can't grow anymore. They've reached the ceiling. And the only way to keep the country to the benefit of the minority who are still landowners and capital owners in this country, the Democratic Alliance has to do only one thing: to make sure that the ANC leader, that the ANC elects, is the a leader who is not going to divorce the ANC from white capital. That is the DA agenda. There's no any agenda they have. They can increase their vote to over 25%. It's gonna drop, I can tell you, with the DA, especially the infighting and the breakups, the growing of their former leaders, Bosa and Action SA. The only last thing that help is let's make sure the ANC is not led by a people they seem or view as the leftists, those who may go to bed with Julius or with Jacob Zuma's MK. The DA is watching that. And they don't see Patrice Motsepe betraying his brother-in-law or betraying business as a businessman to can go to bed with the pro-socialist, pro-Azanian revolution, anti-white capital. Controversies has pronounced so much being anti-white capital. And I'm only mentioning those two political parties because they are said to be ultra-leftist and they have pronounced that they are anti-capitalism and white capital. Now, if you are going to put as the ANC leader a Fikile Mbalula, who is not only a former leader of Julius Malema, but a best friend as well, and a mentor to Julius, they may team up to say, Melaiti, they fired you when you were a firebrand, and I make with it. Come back home, let's work. Understand? If you bring somebody like Paul Mashatile, who has kept a neutral position towards Umkhonto we Sizwe, trust me, Umkhonto we Sizwe, remember what was an unreasonable demand, was saying to ANC after the 2024 elections, we'll give you this 15% if you remove Ramaphosa there and Paul Mashatile must lead the ANC. We'll give you this 15%, you'll be in government. You can see that language to say who do they want to work with, because Paul Mashatile, Fikile Mbalula are seen to be leaders who can divorce the ANC from the relationship with white capital, from a rightist, capitalist organization to a center-left organization, center-linked a little bit to the left. So the Democratic Alliance, that's why Helen Zille, was quick to jump and say, would rather, it will be good for the ANC to have participants. What does the DA leader have to do with that? You understand what I'm saying? It's going to save the GNU. It's going to save the DA from further embarrassment. It's going to keep controversies, maybe Action SA as well as AFF out of the GNU or out of bed with the ANC. Because look what Action SA has done in Tshwane. As much as Mr. Herman Mashaba was so much against the ANC, talking that they will never work with them, just to keep the DA out, Herman Mashaba's Action SA and ANC are in bed. To govern Tshwane with the EFF, the DA doesn't want that to happen nationally. It will be bad news for the DA.
And the DA, I figure, need the GNU, if anything, as free campaign vehicle.
Yes. That's the GNU is healthy for the DA.
Yes.
Anything outside the GNU, anybody who has more than 10% of votes going to bed with ANC is going to be bad news. The DA will have to go back to opposition, and they can influence policy, they can change policy, they can influence current affairs.
Sure.
If they will be in that situation. It's going to be very interesting in 2029. I don't care much about local government elections because they will not influence national policies.
Sure.
I want to see 2029. I hope to be alive that time to see what's going to happen politically in South Africa.
There's also a massive fight about the Joburg, Johannesburg, I mean, the ANC Johannesburg battle.
Yes, yes.
We're told that ballots were found in a yard. Was it in Mpumalanga?
No, in Soshanguve.
In Sosha. Oh, yeah, sorry, in Sosha.
Yes.
Ballots were found at a residence after the Joburg elective conference that obviously Dada Morero lost.
Yes.
What are your views on what's going on here?
Look, remember that conference also led to legal challenges where a lady called Papano Pasha was taken to court by the current chairperson to say that thing was rigged, there was money changing hands, and they played into the hands of analysts.
Mm.
And it also exposed on whose side it's who. I'm told the faction or the, let me not call it a faction, the list. That one, it's a list.
The slate.
The slate, yes. The slate, that one. It's a slate that is linked to the so-called revolutionaries in the ANC. Koroma Shatile, Leboga Maile, Banyaza Lusuvi, and SG TK Ngcisa.
Sure.
And it was a landslide victory because all those people come from that slate. The slate of Dada Morero that lost, it's a slate that is linked to to Fikile Mbalula. And when these ballot papers were found at the house by the police in Soshanguve, again, the election is about Joburg.
How did they know the papers were in Soshanguve?
Exactly, that's one. Two, why in Tshwane? What does a Tshwane branch member or Tshwane house have to do with elections of Johannesburg? It's another city. It's another region of the ANC. This was Joburg region. Tshwane is another region. Why were the people of Tshwane involved in the elections of the leadership of ANC in Joburg? But Joburg, look, it may be just another metro, but it's probably the biggest metro this country has when it comes to political numbers and votes. The money is there, the influence is there, and it's in Gauteng province, which is the economic hub of the country. And I think this is going to create a problem for them. What if the other faction that lost goes now and challenge the outcome? Already this has led to...
Do you think they will? Do you think they should?
If they are a fair organization, I think they should. If there is evidence, look, the police were there, a case will also be opened to say, why did that person in Soshanguve, we saw the video, have ballot papers of election in their house? I mean, there's an act of, you know, you question the criminality. And imagine if this case goes to an extent that it goes to court to nullify. Or in court, it says those ballot were ballot papers that had ticked Dada Morero, but they were never counted. What if it's that? I'm saying, what if that's the case, in inverted commas? It will nullify that region. Now, guess what happened now, this week? And you can see how external political parties sometimes influence the other political party. The motion of confidence this week in Joburg against Dada Morero, the city mayor, was tabled by one of the government of local unity, whatever, a coalition partner, which is Al Jamal Party. It was tabled, the second motion of confidence in 1 month. The first one was the Democratic Alliance. The second one, it's Al Jamal, which they are part of the Joburg Metro. And the reports are some of members of the ANC. They want Dada Morero out. But you know, obviously, who will be these members? It would be those who are on the new slate. The current chairperson is an MMC, I think, of finance or something.
Yes.
Of Joburg. But the important part of that one, Fresh, is when Miss Loiso, I just always forget the surname, she won the chairmanship of Joburg. Exactly, because we had an episode, I think it was our first episode of the year. I said...
Loiso Masuku.
Masuku, yes, yes. Loiso Masuku. I said, I want to see how the ANC is going to handle their old practice of no two centers of power. You remember it started after Polokwane 2007 to say we don't want two centers of power. The chairperson of the region must be the mayor. The chairperson of the province must be the premier. The president of the organization must be the president of the republic. And I did say it after she won to say, I want to see what's going to happen. If they're going to start saying that Amurero must step aside as the mayor of Joburg and the current chairperson of Joburg must step in as the chair. And it is happening. There's lobbying happening. In my observation, I think one of these days, Mayor Dada Morel is going to lose that position because the heat is no longer from outside only. It is also from within.
From within, yes.
Yes. I think he's going to lose that position. I don't want to be a politician.
I'm feeling very discombobulated right now.
Oh, you're starting with Oh, and by the way, you are a resident of Joburg, so you are directly affected by what happens.
Absolutely.
As a resident, yeah.
Let's talk about the discombobulator. Trump says the U.S. used a discombobulator secret weapon during the abduction of Maduro in Venezuela. The discombobulator secret weapon, we're told, jams all radar. Any rocket systems that the Venezuelans would have tried to use would have jammed. And the discombobulator also discombobulates human beings. So you feel dizzy, disorientated, you might throw up, nosebleeds. Surely this is chemical warfare of sorts or biological warfare of sorts. Is that even allowed?
No, the world proliferation, what under the United Nations
proliferation treaty
doesn't allow that. We know that when they went to hunt Colonel Gaddafi and President Saddam Hussein, some of the things they alleged they have was that actually both of them, they've used biological weapons on their residents and citizens. Despite the weapons of mass destruction they alleged that Iraq had, one of the things is that they have biological weapons. Because you remember during the 80s to 90s, the 10-year war between Iran and Iraq.
Yes.
Iraq used biological weapons against Iranians. And boom, after the world has banned the use of biological weapons in military operations, the Americans are telling us that actually they are not calling it biological weapon. They are using that big word, combobulator, whatever it's
called. The discombobulator.
This discombobulator, for me, it's I don't know anything about science, but I think it's dangerous. If you have one weapon, whether it's liquid, physical, air...
Or sonic. Because I think this is a sonic...
But the sonic, that impacts on both IT or machinery and human beings, it must be a very dangerous thing. And this was said by three people now.
Yes.
One, it was the surviving bodyguards of President Maduro, of which most of them are Cuban nationals. Cuba provided President Maduro with a special forces to guard him. And I think the Americans knew that those Cubans cannot be infiltrated or penetrated. You know, infiltration through espionage or penetrated through operations, because Cubans have outclassed Americans in trying to kill or abduct their presidents. I mean, they tried. I saw an article. Actually, I saw a video. Do you know that... 7 American presidents have tried to abduct or kill Fidel Castro.
Yes.
7, and they failed. Now, that's why Maduro sought assistance from the Cubans. Now, I think the Americans resorted to these biological weapons, and I'm the one calling them biological weapons. So those Cuban soldiers, they explained, 3 were interviewed after President Maduro was abducted or kidnapped from Venezuela, to say... You know, I watched some of the interview to say, like, their bodies froze. Some collapsed. Those who didn't collapse, they started having nose bleeding. The other one was saying he could see the operations, but he couldn't, his finger couldn't.
There's nothing, he was discombobulated.
Is that what it means?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
one. The second time it was said by an American Army general, Special Forces, to say they've used a weapon that has never been used before, they've tested in Venezuela, is wet, and the world must watch. President Trump came this past week to say the weapon they've used there, Iran must watch, and it is that discombobulator, and they're going to use it to target other leaders of the world who are anti-America, and it cannot be stopped by any. You understand? What is it that America has produced secretly that we don't know about, that the world doesn't have, that makes people bleed, and machine guns freeze, and the whole radar and what we call the aircraft monitoring system
Hey.
to dysfunction. And what is it that I mean? And then the fact that it had some form, I don't think it's supersonic only where the noise can make me nosebleed or makes a person derailment said and you collapse. I think there was more to that. And this is the danger. And it may be explaining to us, Fresh, why is President Trump so arrogant or pompous and telling every leader of the world that you can't do anything to us as Americans. We may be sitting with the world at risk that America has produced another bomb. Oh, but he even said this is 10 times or 100 times better than what they used at Hiroshima. If you thought Hiroshima was the worst, wait until you see what we have now. I don't know who the next target. I suspect Iran. I suspect Iran is the next target. So the world is faced with danger, Fresh. A very serious danger.
So surely all the more reason that at the midterms, Americans need to turn up and vote and hopefully do the right thing and reverse all of this.
If the midterm is around what, September, October? October. The midterm is October. If President Trump is not going to bomb the world or any other country and unleash biological weapons on people before October, because October is far. We are still left with 10 months or 9 months to get there.
In fact, 3rd of November.
3rd of November.
My mother's birthday is when the midterms will be happening.
Now, this gentleman, this President Trump, has done things in 1 year or in months that no other leader of the world has done.
Sure.
What is 10 months? It's a lot of time before we see danger.
In fact, I was listening to a college professor in the U.S., and he was talking about how he knows exactly how they're going to fix the midterms. And how they're going to fix the midterms is have ICE carry on the way it's been behaving, especially in the blue states. Because what happens is when you feel under siege with a Gestapo-type approach of ICE, people start moving around less and less.
Yes.
And that by election time, you might have people who feel like, why should I leave the house and risk having to either be shot or treated like a second class citizen or treated like a suspect or even shot dead?
Yes.
You know, the fact that white people in America are starting to see what black people have been complaining about, that batho ba luka. And a lot of black people looking at two white deaths at the hands of ICE, are saying, we live like this every day. This is our reality. So it's a good thing that little Onais Mangamla are seeing how we've been living. And that hopefully you'll start taking us seriously when we say we've been under siege for years. So what this professor was saying is that's one way they can influence the turnout at the polls, of especially Democrats in the blue states.
To threaten the people, to make people disillusioned.
Yes.
And as you correctly say, for people to say, you know what, instead of being at risk of ICE, let me stay home.
Yes.
This politics is okay. We voted President Trump and the Republican administration into power. Normally, our country deals with other countries and black people. At the moment, they are dealing with anything that is blue in the U.S. And I think they're going to that. Personally, Fresh, I don't think Americans, I don't say they're not capable of during midterm to vote the Republicans or Donald Trump out. I'm saying they are going to be managed by force or any and fear not to do that.
Or by another war.
Where I destroy them another way in another country. And I'm saying Iran may be the target. And I think they're going to do something. They're going to intimidate them. They're going to make them fear. But the businesses as well. Any company that is going to go against the Trump administration now, a U.S. company, they're in for it. He will go for them.
In fact, this professor was saying it's precisely for that reason that people need to turn up in their numbers. That if you're sick and tired of living the way you've been living, that people can't even afford healthcare. There are people dying simply because I can't afford to go get help from a doctor. I can't afford to go to hospital.
And deaths. They're complaining about deaths.
Exactly. So this professor was saying that if you're serious about changing the status quo, you'll show up for the midterms and you'll vote accordingly.
Yeah.
And voting accordingly also means that all of these illegalities that have been perpetrated by Trump and his people means that they can be tried and sent to jail.
Well, like I said many times before, Americans gave the world President Trump for the second time. He warned the world what he's going to do.
Mm.
And now he's doing it to his own people.
Yes.
Imagine to the world. Imagine us as South Africa that has already threatened that we must be dealt with.
Yes.
We can't continue to be friends with Iran.
Sure.
And all those things. So look, the world is faced with a very serious problem. I just hope that some wisdom must prevail in the leaders of the world that we don't end up in World War III, because it's going to be a nuclear war should it happen.
Mm.
It's going to lead there. But I think what will avoid a nuclear war is that America will not attack Russia directly or China or North Korea, other countries with nuclear. I don't know who else has nuclear. I don't think they will attack them directly.
You know what? Because we are told by experts that if ever there was a nuclear war, one of the safe zones is the southern tip of Africa. Maybe let them reset. Let them reset there up there.
And deal with each other there. And then we on the south will just keep quiet and enjoy our wine and watch them resetting each other. No, that's dangerous. I think one of the reasons BRICS member states, they started talking about patrolling and having naval practices and exercises on the deep waters of South Africa, it's us having the benefit of having two oceans, you know, the Atlantic and the Indian, and we may be a savior. We are a corridor,
yes,
to the world economy as well as a corridor to a world war. They may need our waters for submarines or for anything else that they may want to deploy. You understand? So, guys, let the West and the East, if they decide to kill each other, we have had enough deaths in Africa. Leave us alone. Leave us. This continent has suffered slavery, apartheid, colonialism, exploitation, everything else you can think of. Can these bullies, the so-called Security Council bullies, it's okay, let them take their own land and the green lands. Leave us. Our continent is already taken.
Sure.
We don't have nuclear weapons. They've convinced our leaders and four leaders to dismantle our nuclear capabilities. I don't think there's any African country that has even considered doing that. Our own Air Force and Navy, I don't think they will be able to have even a fight with smaller country from Europe. Africa needs peace than any other thing on earth now.
Sure.
And economic growth. So I don't know what could happen to the Americans or to the world. There must be one person, man, one person on earth who can talk sense into Donald Trump's head.
He failed. That sniper had one job, but he failed.
No, man, there's not there. There was no sniper there. That was fake news again for him. Like the wife. Where is Melanie? You know, this is where your wife becomes important.
Oh, Melania.
Yes.
I think Melania checked out long ago. I think she checked out long ago.
It can be. You know, even you are no longer in good books with your best friends, the Afrikaner boy, the Tesla guy. Somebody, some way, is supposed to sit President Trump down.
I think
the Republicans, look at the medicals, the judges. In the Republicans, they've got judges, medicals, whoever, scientists, who should be able to say, I'm afraid, let's sit here and talk.
I mean, the fact that there are Democrats in the U.S. this week who co-signed on ICE being given more budget,
yeah,
says to you that the Democrats who are happy with what ICE are doing, the Democrats who are as white supremacist as a lot of Republicans are.
But history will tell you that Democrats, actually, they've been warmongers.
Yes.
Than even the Republicans. These ones may be ultra-racist, but Democrats, I mean, I tell people, Barack Obama, in his two terms, attacked more countries than any other president of the U.S.
In fact, he's got a decent track record when it comes to drone attacks.
It's
you know, from Yemen, I think, to Afghanistan.
Of course.
I think was it Somalia or
Somalia,
Ethiopia?
Somalia. It was during the Somalia attack that
Exactly.
happened.
So
Yeah.
it's not like Barakele and Oatly, not.
No, there's nobody clean there. And it's an American thing. It's not the Republican. It's an American thing. But the thing is, the world has evolved and developed a lot now. But both sides are warmongers. It's just that who is killing who, who's attacking who better than who, who's raising more money, who's using more budget. But I'm thinking that now that it's affecting their own citizens, it has hit home. You know, when we always say it has hit home, I
Yes.
think that's why it's now becoming, you know, out in the noise. I mean, look at America pulling out of the World Health Organization. What if there's a pandemic in the world? Their scientists will be left aside. They will not form part of the research and the scientists, not to say they are incapable of doing their own. But, you know, the more people come together to fight the pandemic or to come with a vaccine, whatever, it's better, especially from various areas of the world. So I Trump doesn't disappoint me. I'm puzzled to say what's going on with the Americans.
So they're done with the WHO.
With the what?
WHO.
No, they're done. He gave proper notice 1 year when he took office, because the regulations of WHO is that you must give 1 year notice.
Yes.
They're done. The WHO is going to suffer because the United States of America, as much as they've got a debt, they owe them some 300 and something million. They've got a debt, but they were the biggest contributor towards the
Hey, then
WHO.
actually, then it means that the rest of the world must find a way of covering that gap that the US contributions will make.
Increase the
But
tariffs of other countries.
sadly, then what it means is then the US excluding themselves from vital research, scientific work and
Scientific, yes.
discoveries that hopefully would be to the benefit of all members.
Yeah.
And you know, does this mean that at a moral level, you're allowed to say you're not part of the research, so leave us alone with our new vaccines.
No, that's what should happen. Americans must not be included in whatever vaccines or scientific, you know, advancement of the medical system in the world from now moving forward. They probably know that they have themselves covered, and there's nothing that they will fail to can contain. That's what they are thinking. But we know, we saw it with the COVID, the latest thing that we had. We saw it with COVID. When HIV became prominent in the world in the 80s, although they said it started in the 70s, but we started knowing about HIV in the 80s, some of us. America was one of the most affected nation. But because of the collaboration they had under the umbrella of the WHO and other countries, they managed to contain it to aid other African countries or poor and developing countries. But what the decisions they are taking now, look, the nice thing about American politics is that those who make decisions today, whether after the midterm in November or after the elections, the one who comes in may reverse those decisions, like Trump has reversed some of the decisions of Joe Biden. So those are some. I mean, you saw what happened in the UK, the article I sent you about Rwanda, the current prime minister. Are they not from the same party, the UK prime minister?
No,
They are not. Oh,
no,
he reversed the decision to take prisoners to Rwanda.
no. Asylum seekers.
No. Oh, yes. Illegal asylum seekers.
No, I think it was just all asylum seekers
No,
who,
it's those that were not granted.
or is it only the
Those that were not successful, or they came with ships illegally.
okay.
Those who were granted asylum and it's still not safe to go to their countries, they're still there.
Yes.
But those who were denied, which are in majority, are the ones that
Hey,
they
because
get.
Keir Starmer reversed
Yes,
that
yes.
agreement. You know what's interesting? The other day, I got to go Davos. Trump spoke about how UK and Afghanistan did not really get involved.
Yes.
At that time, they lost probably
They were
about
useless. He said they were useless.
they lost what over about 500
Military.
British military
Military
personnel
personnel, yes.
died in Afghanistan
Yes.
in a war that was not even that war. And the fact that a draft dodger like Trump has the audacity to say to an ally that your guys were not really involved. They were just there, mumraunya.
Yeah, America Bill.
Barakapile, I mean, I'm hoping that it will be a semi wake-up call for someone like Sir Keir Starmer, that this is the guy you're dealing with that you
Yes.
keep defending. You know, you did not even have the balls to call him out on what happened with Maduro,
Yes.
because you said, yeah, there's global, we have international law, but let's find out from them the basis of this illegal action of theirs.
No, but
So
the
if
British deserves what Trump is doing to them. They always back up the US, and not only Trump administration. They always back up anything that America wanted, the British went for it. Now it's them being called useless after they've lost personnel. And now Kagame in Rwanda. Don't you think that America may be having an influence there? It just crossed my mind. The stomach comes and cancels the decision of his predecessor. Was it Boris Johnson? Oh, who
No,
else?
man, in early, was it not Sunni? No, it was before.
It is the one just before him, whoever was the Prime Minister of UK, cancels that. You know, did you see the figure, how much they were paying Rwanda for those? And only four of those asylum seekers were transferred to Rwanda. I still have to go and read the papers to understand what is Kigali demanding if those people did not
Hey,
even come.
it was Rishi Sunak.
It was Sunak. Is it him who signed that deal with Kagame? Because I saw Boris's name somewhere there. But nonetheless, and remember, people have been saying, and people are seeing President Kagame as having relationships with Canada and the US. And jiki jiki, the US want to deport asylum seekers to Eswatini, and probably they're looking for another platform. And most probably they've said to Kagame, leave these British people out, or the British cancelled because Kagame was not cooperating. I don't think the British just woke up and decided to cancel this. Why would they want to cancel it if it went through their house or their parliament? Why would the current prime minister wake up?
Yeah, Boris Johnson signed 14 April 2022, the UK Rwanda Migration and Economic Development Partnership.
2022, 2020. But then, Kante, how long is the term? Oh, Boris didn't finish the term, eh? Because if it's 2022, we're in 2026, and they're already on the third
Now, I think there's been a
prime.
revolving door there.
Oh,
But it was announced by Boris
Boris,
April 22, 2022.
Kigali want their money. They say there's over $300 million that's still outstanding for payment, but only four of these asylum seekers were sent to Kigali. The rest were still supposed to come. Again, people are treating asylum seekers and human beings as if they are tools, as if they are donkeys. We don't want to, we can't take you to your country because it's not safe. Therefore, we'll look for,
We'll dump you somewhere in Africa.
we'll dump you somewhere in Africa. And this is one part of my life where I was disturbed, and I don't respect President Kagame for that. You know, he's one of my favorite leaders, but for that, I don't know. Why do you allow your country to be a dumping hole
Because it's good money.
for inhuman? No, but it's inhuman.
Yeah, but
President Kagame talks about humanity most of the time. The people of Rwanda, humanity.
it's.
Yo, Fresh, I don't know why I'm into politics, or that's why I don't want to be active. People die, commit suicide, vanyamela, the poison. People just die in politics, and it's okay. Once you start getting into politics, you get into trouble. No.
We're out of time.
Anyway, let's go with my
We're,
brother.
I think, an hour and a half in already.
Serious?
Yeah.
I know, I'm tired. Let's go home.
Where do we find you on social media?
botsangm@gmail.com, 083-884-7787 on WhatsApp, and at botsangm on social media handles.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Wow, what a week. Hashtag Politrix. I'm Fresh, he's Botsang, and you are incredible for joining us, subscribing, showing up every Saturday morning at 8, sharing the links, and for keeping the conversation going in the comment section. So please, let's keep the conversation going. If you'd like to suggest other issues we can maybe chat about, by all means, do that. Coming to you from Discover TV in Four Ways, Johannesburg, let them be your stage. Shout out to Keletso Modisa Keng, our executive producer, and Trevor and his crew at Phezulu Works for all of the cinematography. From us to you, Ra Leboga, thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. And have a great Wow Week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.